Are you waiting for the new iPhone launch this year? Does its new design or features tempt you to buy new? Did you know? Your old iPhone is considered electronic waste, also known as e-waste. E-waste is the fastest growing waste stream in the world. Harlan Savage with EcoCycle in Boulder says that as consumers, we need to be aware of where the products we buy end up.
We have a finite amount of resources on the planet. And every time you choose to buy something brand new, made from virgin materials, that's taking a chunk of those finite resources. And when you have 7+ billion people, it's just simply not sustainable. Do we have some responsibility for all this stuff that we're buying? And when we put it in the bin or in the trash can, you know, it's just too easy to think that it magically disappears.
That's a recyclable battery or like a charger. I can take it somewhere else.
Increasing consumerism is a result of planned obsolescence. That is when products are designed not to last.
Apple customers want the tech giant to pay up after admitting to slowing down older versions of its popular iPhone. Apple faces multiple class action lawsuits that allege customers were forced to buy newer and more expensive iPhones after their older phones.
Electronics today are being designed to reduce service life. Planned obsolescence has forced consumers to replace their new electronics sooner. It is cheaper to purchase new than repairing, and industry makes us do this. The shelf life of electronic products is 6 months, and then it goes to the landfill. Bill Morris, co-founder and CEO of Blue Star Recyclers, says this is a growing problem around the world.
Starting in the early 2000s, manufacturers began to make items that were not repairable. The way that the manufacturers have designed them is that if they quit working or they become obsolete, there's no way to get them working for a reasonable price, so it's actually cheaper to buy a new one. And that was a very new thing, because prior to about 2002, most of us, if we had an electronic item that quit working, we would take it in and have it repaired. They say now that manufacturers design for the dump.
43 million tons of e-waste, which is around 4,500 Eiffel Towers, is produced in the world annually. 7 million tons a year in the US alone. Even though the number of recycling facilities have increased, legislation and policy has not caught up, and only 20% is recycled ethically. Bill Morris says that much of the electronic waste generated in the US actually ends up in another country.
The federal government refused to regulate disposal of electronics. There's some federal laws against dumping abroad that are abused. You and I could start an electronics recycling company and people would start bringing their material to us, but there was no oversight of what we were doing with it. So what most recyclers were doing was scavenging. They weren't recycling. They were loading it on sea containers and shipping them to be dumped abroad.
The export of hazardous waste has been banned under the Basel Convention Treaty. But developed countries like the US still continue to dump their e-waste into developing countries despite the global ban on this. Just in 2017, the UN estimates around 50 million tons of e-waste, primarily smartphones and computers, was predicted to be dumped. Out of that, 90% was dumped illegally in countries like India. Satish Sinha, Associate Director of Toxics Link, an organization that works on e-waste dumping in New Delhi, India, explained this issue.
A huge amount of waste was coming from outside and it was being camouflaged under the garb of various things that it came in. It didn't come in as electronic waste. So it was being disassembled here and being treated. And most of the poor people in the pylons of many of the cities. Now, this was a clear case of environmental injustice. As you can see that most of these items that were being dumped, they were passing the burden of recycling from their own countries. And they were putting it on the most poor people.
In India, most of the recycling takes place in the informal sector, which has no licenses, environmental protection measures, or safety regulations. Working in this sector are some of the most marginalized and discriminated communities. Environmental degradation of e-waste recycling is huge, but the health impacts in this sector are alarming. People working in the informal sector are exposed to chemical toxins and injury. Satish Sinha further explains.
They were sitting in cramped rooms in very crowded places, and they were working with bare hands. They were using blowtorch and acids for leaching. They were just about releasing all the chemicals into the environment, and they were also inhaling most of it.
Mohammed Sabir from New Delhi, India, an e-waste recycler, told his journey from informal to formal recycling sector and the challenges he faced.
Informal sector se to main 30 saal se chala hu aur ye 7 saal se recycling
I have been in the informal recycling sector for the last 30 years and entered the formal sector 7 years ago. At the age of 5, I used to accompany my father to his radio repairing shop where I learned the art of repairing, especially typewriters. As typewriters phased out and computers came into the market, I started breaking down computer systems as a livelihood. GIZ and a local NGO made me aware of the hazardous impacts of informal recycling, especially on children and women. I realized that I needed to start recycling in a formal manner with better protection standards. As I moved into the formal sector and started my own recycling business, I realized that there was no government support for this, and instead the informal sector was a thriving business as there was no rent, no technology required, and breaking electronics with the hand was more profitable. My losses in the formal sector are large, and I cannot get back into the informal sector, so everything is over for me. The government has no good policy for e-waste recycling. They only give you a license and post that there is no monitoring as to where the recycling actually happens. Most of the recycling takes place in the informal sector, and even big recyclers sell their e-waste there.
Though the implications are global, the solutions can be local. In Boulder, Fix-It clinics are held in the community to teach people how to repair electronics.
Chances are one of these switches came loose and wasn't actually flipping the switch.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue was making sure that this little relay switch was pressed.
Dan Mash from EcoCycle Center for Hard Recycled Materials says this is a part of an effort to extend the life of certain electronics and keep them out of the waste stream.
So this is a way to kind of, you know, re-examine this linear flow from, you know, manufacturing to landfill, and how can we make use of this stuff for a little bit longer, give it more life. When you do have to shop for a new item, you know, it kind of changes your value system. You know, you're not necessarily looking for the cheapest thing. Maybe you're looking at something that you realize is going to last longer than 6 months, or that you understand that it is fixable.
So listeners, through whichever platform you're listening to this podcast, it will become e-waste one day. What are you going to do about this? Purchase new, recycle ethically, or repair?